I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Narrators!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, Juan Soto.
All right, what is up, everybody? Welcome to a post-victory episode of the Autumn Windbags. I'm your boy Soto with Autumn Windbags. Neither RJ nor Rory could bother themselves enough to join you today, but I, your humble servant, am here to share this victory with you all. So welcome, goddammit, welcome. The Las Vegas Raiders beat the Houston Texans by a score of 38-20 on a game that was pretty scary coming into the fourth quarter. But we pulled it out. We did what we needed to do. The score is going to look a little bit more lopsided than it actually was. It was a really close game entering the fourth quarter. And we scored early in the fourth. But we got stops in the end. We converted. We got sevens instead of threes for the most part. Josh Jacobs freaking ran the ball like a wild man possessed, which is amazing. Carr kept it simple. He didn't throw the ball deep, really. He pushed the ball when he could, when the matchup was there. He moved around in the pocket. Offensive line, they played pretty well, although Jacobs did make them look good. In the second half, Jacobs ran the ball for like 10 times for like over 100. He had like over 10 yards of carry in the second half. This whole game is about Josh Jacobs. 100%. Whole game is about Josh Jacobs. I don't know what the fuck is going on with my computer right now, so I apologize if I'm frozen, if you can still hear me. I don't know what the hell's going on. So, what is going on here? Frozen. Hopefully you guys can still hear me. Let me see. Let me ask. Sorry for the technical difficulty. I don't know why, but my computer is frozen. I'm frozen on my screen. Hopefully you guys can see me. What's up in the chat, guys? Can you guys see me? Okay. Hey, there we go. All right. We're good. Okay. So the big thing for me out of this victory is we played the way we needed to play. We played the way that's going to protect our deficiencies, but also highlight some of our strengths. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it, y'all. So what do I mean by that? We have a great running back. We have one of the league's best running backs. Use him. Throw the ball to him. Use him in the run game. Our offensive line as a collective is better at run blocking, than pass blocking. Our quarterback reads the defenses a lot better post-snap off of play action. Let's use it, right? It just makes sense. It makes perfect sense. So let's look at some stats, all right? Our quarterback went 21 for 27, 241 yards and a touchdown. Only took one sack for 5 yards. His rating was like 111, something like that. So nice game for him. Really, that's all we need. If we're gonna push behind this running game, we need our quarterback to make the plays when they're there. Throw the ball away when it's not there. Don't take any negative plays. And let the running back do the work, which is what happened. Excellent work. Josh Jacobs just went apeshit today. This dude was running over people, running around people, juking people, circle buttons, spin moving people. 20 carries, that's it. Only 20 carries for 143 yards. For you math majors, that is over 7 yards a carry. Three touchdowns, the hat trick, the triple dip, the threesome, the menage triple, whatever you want to call it, the three-way dance. He got 3 touchdowns today, 15-yard long. Excellent job today for Josh Jacobs. Great work. Devontae Adams caught 8 passes for 95 yards, right around where he's going to be. 8 to 10 balls, you know, 90 to 115, 120 yards a game. That's who he's going to be. That's where he's the best. He got a couple of big conversions. He got us close on that fourth down conversion that we ended up getting the penalty on. And that was a busted play. I mean, that play should have gone for nothing. He juked a couple of guys, and Davante Adams showed why he's one of the best in the NFL and got us close to even try to get the fourth down. And then the Texans were the Texans, and they false started, or they were neutral zone infraction and gave us the first down. So great work there. Hunter Renfrow comes in, 3 catches for 55 yards. That's nice work from him, a 27-yard long. So it's good to see him. It's good to see Renfrow back in the swing of things, right? Getting in there, catching some balls, converting some third downs. He got hit in the head, like a head-to-head contact, and they didn't call it again. I don't know what Renfrow has to do to catch a call. Matt Collins, 2 receptions, 1 big touchdown, 26 yards. It was only targeted 3 times, so those 2 catches and 44 yards was amazing. Foster Moreau, 3 catches, 28 yards. I guess Jacobs out of the backfield, 3 catches for 12 yards. Abdullah added 2 catches for 7 yards. So it was a nice team effort today. The thing we have to put a look in perspective, okay? Never, ever, ever, especially in the NFL, apologize for a victory. Did we beat an inferior team? Did we beat a team that has inferior talent and that played an inferior manner today? Yes. Houston is not as talented as we are, and they played worse than we did. Or they didn't play as well as we did for 4 quarters. Never apologize for that. Never apologize for beating somebody you should beat, because that hasn't always been the case with us, guys. Remember that. This is a step in the right direction. When we're favored by 7 against a team and we ended up thumping them by 18, guess what that tells me? That tells me that we're not worried about how much we're favored by. We're not worried about who's next to us. We're going to play our game the best we can, and we're going to finish. We're not going to worry about, oh, well, let's just get some points on the board. Like, no, we're going to finish these drives and get touchdowns. Our first drive, we got a field goal. The rest of the scoring drives were all touchdowns. Really big victories, guys, for us. These are small things that good teams do that bad teams don't take advantage of. Bad teams lose to bad teams. It's the NFL, man, any given Sunday. Look what Carolina did to fucking Tampa Bay. Shoved it right up their fucking asshole, dude. That could have been us. That was going to be us entering the fourth quarter, right? Look at Washington and Green Bay. Washington beat Green Bay, right? Like, you can't say, Houston sucks, so whatever, we're not that good. It doesn't matter. We won. Take it and go, right? Like the Russell Peters thing, take it and go. Take your victory and move on. Fucking pop some champagne, whatever, freaking have a stripper dance on your shit, whatever. After that, move on to the next one. But do not ever apologize or make light of winning in the NFL, because it's not easy. RJ was saying how terrible Davis Mills was. And in the fourth quarter, he played poorly. But overall, he didn't do too bad. Davis Mills, 28 for 41, 302 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. That's not bad. He didn't play terrible. He didn't play what RJ said he was terrible, right? These are players that get paid to play. Damian Pierce, 20 carries for 92 yards. He had a 22-yard run. Dude, these guys aren't bad. There's players in every team has players on them, right? That's why I was so upset with RJ for saying, he's terrible. He's horrible. Did he end up throwing that pick 6? Yeah, but here's why. Let's not lose sight as to why Davis Mills threw that pick six. Jerona Harmon, great job, by the way. When you force a team to play outside of their comfort zone, when you force a team to play outside of their game plan, basically outside of their talent level, that's when they make big mistakes. That's why I was always so upset for our offense stopping scoring and letting teams back in the game, because they're already not playing what they normally play, but you're letting them back in playing a mode that's not really their way of playing, right? Houston is kind of like what we want to do. Houston has a lot better offensive line, I'll tell you that. But they want to run the ball control offense. They have a couple of weapons. They want to throw to their weapons and let that be that, right? Not too much. 41. If you were to tell me before the game started that Davis Mills threw 41 times, I would have guaranteed you a victory. Guaranteed. And if you, I would have been like, nah, I wouldn't say that. I would say probably 90% chance we won the game. But if you were to say that Derek Carr threw the ball 27 times while Davis Mills threw the ball 41 times, I would have 100% guaranteed you a victory. That's exactly how we want to play, and that is not how Houston wants to play. So let's not lose sight of the scoring per quarter. We got 3 points in the first quarter. Second quarter, we scored a touchdown, 7 points. So 10-10 at the half. Third quarter, we scored 7 points. Fourth quarter, we exploded with 21. And why is that? We scored a rushing touchdown. We got a stop, and we scored a rushing touchdown again. Now, what did that do? That put Houston in a position where they had to throw the ball, and that's our strength. Any defense is better when you know pretty much what the offense is going to do. They're going to throw the ball, or they're going to do like a draw play or whatever. Keep it in front if you don't let the big play, right? Davis Mills can't play that way, okay? So great job by the offense. Great job by the defense in capitalizing on opportunities. Great work there. Yeah, baby. Big Bob is like one of the OG of OG Autumn Windbags followers. Like, bro, Bob, you're the man. Indeed, Raiders, baby. Let's see here. Johnny Gonzalez, Johnny Gonfo. You know what? I'm lucky I was wearing my Depends, bro. I was wearing my adult diapers, so I didn't mess my shit. Dude. Bro, Illuminor? You think this is Illuminor? Hang on a second before we go any further. Please do not confuse 72 that we have now with the actual 72, the twos, all right? This is a freaking Matuszak jersey. Don't trip. Don't trip, London Raider. I'm going to go ahead and give you a pass on that because you're the man. So, big takeaways from this game. We're still not great on third down, guys. I'm going to talk about the things we need to get better at, and then some of the things that we did really well today. Third down defense, not great, man. So the Houston was 9 for 15 on third down. Okay, so 3 out of every 5 they're converting. They converted 1 out of 2 fourth downs, which basically makes that what 10 out of 16, right, on the drives. Look. When you can't get teams off the field and you let them sustain drives, it's very hard to keep your defense fresh, especially when Houston wasn't really making a lot of substitutions and they weren't letting you sub, and they were getting on the line quickly and they were doing a lot of the stuff on the line. So they were running the ball quite a bit. It's just not a way that you can win a lot of games. We were able to get away with it because our defense stepped up when we needed to. We made plays. But when you take a look at our side, we were 500, 5 for 10 basically, because we were 4 for 9 on third down and 1 for 1 on fourth down. So, I mean, we were about league average-ish around there, whereas they were a little bit better than league average. I mean, they converted 10 third and fourth downs. As a defense, we have to find a way to make those plays. And I mean, Damian Pierce, man, he's a rookie, but he's a freaking stud, man. He's a stud. That kid's gonna be really good if he stays healthy. So I like the balance that we had. We had 13 passing first downs, and we had 11 rushing first downs. So excellent work on the balance. It's everything in the NFL is about balance. It's about balance. It's about not giving away anything. Not giving a tell to the defense, right? They don't know what we're going to do. This is the package we're in. This is the formation we're in. Fool them. Think, run one of the things we're going to pass. Pass one of the things we're going to run. It just makes it happen. Let's see here. Steve the Cockfighter. No, this is not the guy that thinks steroid gave him cancer. That was Lyle Alzado. This is the guy that played Sloth from the Goonies. Get it straight. Exactly, M85. Hey, you got... Dude, that's a sick freaking pit bull with three legs. I know a pit bull with three legs. He had an Asian owner, but I don't think that was why. Honestly, I really don't. I think he would just... He hurt his leg and that was it. But yeah, my boy Cheeto, the man. So, penalties really killed us, man, especially early. The second half of the game, we didn't have the penalty issues that we had in the first half. But those penalties, when you're trying to run your offense behind your running game, you can't have negative plays, number one. You also can't have penalties bogging you down. Although I didn't agree with some of the passing plays that we had early. I think there was a holding call on Davante Adams that nullified a long run by Jacobs, but it only put us down in second and seven because it was further down the field. And we ended up passing on second and seven, which was incomplete. Now we're at third and seven. You can still run the ball on that second and seven. So there's a couple things we need to clean up. I think philosophically, I think Josh McDaniels, and I think we talked about this earlier in the year, but before the year even started, I said McDaniels loves to run the football, and he does. You see the remnants of his offense that they still use in New England, and they're running the ball like crazy. Stevenson out there is a running fool. But he loves to run the football. He loves to play off the run. And I just think he's kind of caught in between. I have the quarterback that I like, and he has all these weapons and still running the football. Look, I'm telling you something right now. Hunter Renfrow is perfectly fine with three catches for 55 yards. Converting a third down and getting a dub, right? Davante Adams is going to get his no matter what because he's Davante Adams. He's the best receiver in the league. You cannot tell me anyone is better than Davante Adams at playing wide receiver. Are there people faster than him? Yes. Are there people that have better hands? I don't think so. Are there people that can run routes better? I don't think so. Just some guys are a little faster than him and can make bigger plays, but are they a better receiver overall? You can't convince me that anyone's better than Davante Adams. May Spitfire, yes, I think you're correct. I think it was a block in the back by Adams. But yeah, second and seven. I don't know, what do you think? Second and seven, throw the ball? I don't know. I think we should still play behind the run. No, I think you're right. I think it was the Davante Adams play where Jacobs had that long run and he was called for a block in the back. Maybe. I don't know. It's definitely a penalty down the field because it was a second and seven and then we threw the ball. Wasn't great. Yeah, Cup's pretty good. I still take Davante Adams over Cooper Cup. I don't know. That's just me. Diggs is good, too. I still take Davante Adams over Cooper Cup and Stephon Diggs. That's just me. Maybe because he's on my team. Maybe because he has better hair. Maybe because he's bigger, stronger, faster, better hands. I don't know. Yeah, man, look. When you take a look at some of these plays in the second half, you have to take a look at how these players play as a group. Individually, you can find – because, look, the defensive players, even on a team like the Texans, they're going to have people that can play on the line, right? They're not just a bunch of slaps out there from, like, you know, shit dick state and stuff like that. Okay, these are like, real players. Although they may not have the top-end talent that some of these other teams have, they have good players on their team. So when your team is doing their best, take a look at a snapshot of, okay, who's on the field when we're playing our best? Maybe their stats aren't the best, right? But who's on the field when the team is playing its best? Think of it almost like basketball, right? You can have a guy that fills up stats, but he's the guy that plays with all the second stringers, and he's the guy that plays when you give up leads. Maybe a guy does the little things, isn't a really big stat filler, but he's in the game when the team's rolling. Guys like Thayer Mumford. Thayer Mumford is I don't know how he lasted to the seventh round because he was a big player out of a big program, starter. They were a little worried about his footwork, which I think we've cleaned up a little bit. They thought he was a little bit too grabby, which we've seen. But damn, did he played most of the second half, I believe, and Jacobs ran for 10 yards a carry. These are things I get to take a look at, right? I got crushed about talking about Alex Bars because, you know, a couple of really good content creators out there made some films about how poor Alex Bard played. Ever since Alex Bard was inserted into the lineup, he played against Tennessee, which was a decent game running. But after that, the team, the Raiders have just ran the ball like crazy. And I think we found our offensive line that finishes games. Maybe Thayer Mumford isn't starting the game, but he's finishing games, and he's finishing off blocks too. He had a nice little play where he went to the second level, and he got a block on, I think it was a safety, that really sprung Jacobs for a long run. So great work there. All right, what do you see as Jacobs' trade value? Is it worth it with him being such a big part of the Raiders' offense? I don't think, look, as long as we're playing the way we're playing now, it would be very difficult for me to say we have to let go or let Jacobs walk. Now, depending on what he gets in the open market, you can't have that much money imbalanced on your offensive side of the ball. Of course, you know you're going to have a lot of imbalance already because the quarterback makes so much. But if this guy is the corner, basically one of the cornerstone pieces of your offense, it'd be very difficult for me to let him go. All right. So, here's another thing that I want to talk about, guys. In the red zone, we were 3 for 3. So the things that I've talked about, working off of the running game, take the shots when they're there, 28 to 32 passes a game, right? Don't turn the ball over. Watch your penalties. Just play safe. If you play safe, sound football, you have the players on your team, especially offensively, they're going to make those big plays happen. Case in point, with Josh Jacobs, a lot of those runs were Jacobs. They were blocked for him to get maybe 3 or 4 yards, but Jacobs himself made the play to make those longer runs, right? That third down play to Devontae Adams, it was basically a check down, and it was, I think it was third and long, and he ended up getting a yard short of the first down. That play should have gone for maybe 2 yard gain, but the individual effort of your player making the play, that's why you were able to try for the fourth down attempt and cause Houston to jump off get a pre-snap penalty. Coaching is great, right? Coaching, you have to have good coaching, but you cannot win, especially in the NFL. You cannot win without talent. Your talent needs to make plays. And that's why I get a little bit upset when everyone's coming down on Joshua Daniels. And I'm not a Joshua Daniels freaking homer or anything like that. He's our coach right now. And he hasn't really been given a long time to show what he can do. But what I'm saying is I've seen more so the players not make the plays that lead to us losing as opposed to coaching leading to us losing. It's not like it's Brandon Staley out there going for fourth down every single time and calling timeouts when he shouldn't. That's not what we're seeing here. We're seeing players not making plays. We're seeing receivers running into each other. We're seeing receivers fumble. We're seeing quarterbacks throwing multiple interceptions. We're seeing quarterbacks throw balls not even into the end zone on 2-point conversion to end games. Like, we're seeing offenses not scoring in for whole halves. Like, these are things that are happening execution wise. Okay. Today we executed. Today, Daron Harmon steps up big, right? Daron Harmon steps up big and he makes that individual play to seal the game. These are things that when you have the good players, you play sound football and let the players take over because the players are going to make plays. Let's see what we got here. May Spitfire, I'm going to go to you. Every time you say something, I'm going to put you up because we have very few ladies that, hopefully this is you, you're not catfishing us, but very few ladies that comment. And when they do, I like to give them the floor. May Spitfire says, right now, I'd only let Jacobs go if someone offered a king's ransom. I don't think they will. Nigh do I. Jack Kenna back on the scene with the gangster lean. Davante Adams and or Carr going to have to redo their contract to keep Jacobs past Marcus Allen in yards with same amount of games? I agree. I agree. I think we're going to have quite a bit of shuffling going around and quite a bit of transferring money, transferring dollars to bonuses and stuff like that, and pushing dollars back, because the way things are going now, we need to keep Jacobs, but we also need to fortify that offensive line. And let's not forget, we still are lacking talent defensively. This defense is going to end up being a really young defense, because I don't know that you can spend that much money on our offense and get a bunch of free agents defensively. But if we draft properly, if we get good pieces, we do have some cornerstone parts of our defense there. Martinez played a lot more today. I mean, not more. He's his first game, I think, with us. But he played a lot today, and he got some pretty good tackles. He, him and Perriman were both out there at the same time. That cut into Diablo's snaps a little bit, but that's fine. I think Diablo can look to learn from someone like Martinez. I think it was a good sign for us. We weren't as abused up the middle in the passing game, so I think that was a little bit better. Trevon Merrick, again, got shown to be a little bit out of position in coverage again. I think Trevon Merrick was the perfect safety for a Gus Bradley defense. Play deep, keep everything in front of you, see the play in front of you, run and make the play, right? Unfortunately, with Patrick Graham's defense, you need to be multiple. That's his big thing, is you got to be multiple. You have to do multiple things. And they'll coach him up, and I think he has the athletic ability to do it. But the last two games, the game against Kansas City and the game here against Houston, he didn't look really good in coverage. Corey Woods, what jersey are you rocking? I showed it. It's a twos. It's a Tuzak jersey. That's how we do. Do you think Mumford locks right tackle down? I thought Mumford locked right tackle down a few games ago. For some reason, they keep putting Illuminor in there to start, and he keeps having penalties in the beginning of games. I don't know why, but they do. I think that Mumford has if Mumford continues to improve, Parham has been shown that he's perfectly capable of playing a decent guard. We might have gotten a couple of steals in the mid to late round picks on our offensive line. Let's see here. Renfro and Waller. Steve the Cockfighter won. Renfro and Waller look like bad contracts already. Never sign a running back to a second contract. Right, Jacobson, let him walk. Next man up. That's one way to look at it. I was not a proponent of signing Waller early. I think RJ and I both said to wait until you had to sign him. Now you signed him, and you know the returns aren't great. So Matt Marjanovic, just run, baby. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Mace Spitfire, Perriman helps us a lot inside. He does against the run and pass. He's not great, but he wasn't exposed too bad today. But as a run stopper, as a hammer, yeah, he got caught leaning in the wrong gap once by Pierce. But he was able to recover and make the tackle. Kenny says, Soto, you're the first guy who actually got it right in that it's the execution of the play and not the play call that's the problem. I mean, I've been saying it all along. People want to shit on Josh McDaniels. And I'm like, I mean, this is really the first time I've really paid attention to Josh McDaniels closely. And by looking at film, I've seen like the second half of the Cardinals game, there was a lot of missed opportunities by our quarterback. Throughout the entire game for the Titans against the Titans, there was a lot of missed opportunities by our quarterback. So it's about the execution. So if anything in our team is taking a while to get up to speed, you do what Aaron Rodgers said or what Karen Rodgers said, and just not dummy it down, but make it more basic. And you don't need 150 plays, right? Chop it down to 40. And run those plays, but run them well. You can run them off of different formations, off of motion stuff, maybe different personnel, stuff like that. But keep it simple and let your playmakers make plays. Now, you can get well in these next few weeks. The Saints have not been playing well, okay? I think we play the Colts, and then we play the Jaguars, and we play the Broncos again. Like, we're playing teams that we should beat, but we have to make those plays when they're available to be made. I think that was the big issue with us, is that it wasn't that we were getting blown out or we were getting severely outplayed. Is our players didn't make the plays when they should have been made. Week one, it was the quarterback not making the plays. It was making the bad play and got intercepted a bunch of times. Week two, maybe our defense not corralling Kyler Murray when we should have and got him off the field. And in turn, our offense not clicking and not moving the ball in the second half. That's terrible. The Titans, freaking Waller dropping two passes, a touchdown, and another one. I mean, you got to make these plays when they're there, right? And today we did. So great job. Omar with a $5 super chat. Appreciate you, Omar. The Niners gave up the farm for running back. If we get the same, and I'm all for trading Jacobs, might even get a first at this rate and use it for a defense next year. Omar, I love you, man. You know, you're my boy. I appreciate the super chat. I don't think we're going to get anything near what Carolina got for Christian McCaffrey. I'm not saying that Josh Jacobs isn't in the same spectrum or in the same realm or in the same tier when he's right as Christian McCaffrey. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But how is he perceived by the NFL? Because it's not all about selling. It's about buying too, right? It's got to be a buyer when you're selling, okay? So that's what I'm more looking into right now is how is Jacobs being perceived by the NFL? If he's being perceived as a bell cow guy that you can build an offense around, yeah, man, that's amazing. Let's go for it. But would you want to give up a player like that? I don't know. Let's see. Someone commented on Steve saying something crazy. Crosby and Adams are the only Raiders guaranteed to be on the roster next year in my mind. What do you think the Raiders could get for Carr in the trade market to improve the team? From his own words, I don't know that Carr would be open to be traded. I think he has a no-trade clause. I just think he would retire if we're looking to move on from him. I don't know that we should do that now. I think that if now there's a big if, guys, so don't rake me over the coals and hold my feet to the fire on this, okay? If this is the offense we're going to run moving forward, we need to invest more in our offensive line, and we need to invest more in, like, you know, into our defense, right? Maybe Carr takes a little bit better deal. Maybe he takes a little bit of a haircut, right? I would think so. If I'm not going to be one of the quarterbacks that's going to be whipping the ball around the field, throwing for 300 yards every single game, like he was in the first part of last year, if he's going to be this guy, 21 for 27 for 240 and a touch, no turnovers, I am A-okay with that as long as we're getting the touchdowns from somewhere. If Jacobs is balling out like this, that is what we need to do. Run Jacobs, strap our offense on his back, and we go as far as Jacobs takes us. If something were happening to Jacobs where he gets, you know, winded or, you know, he needs a break or whatever, then we see what Zamir White's got, because that's what you drafted him for, you know, in what, the fifth round or fourth round, not sure. But this is what I've been saying all along, and I get, you know, yelled at and talked down for saying that game manager is not a bad moniker, guys. Game manager is not a bad thing to say about a quarterback, because game managers don't lose games. We saw our quarterback lose games before, and I don't want to do that again. And yeah, we saw our quarterback win a bunch of games early in the year, but guess what? Before we won our last four games, we were 6-7. Okay, remember that. So I like our chances playing this way: opportunistic defense, methodical offense, use our running attack, give it to our weapons and have them make plays. Play that way as opposed to putting it all on our quarterback's back. I just don't feel that's the way to go for us. Let's see here. What else we got? Omar, another $5 super chat, bro. Thank you, man. I really appreciate you, bro. Chokers should have lost to the Donkeys. If we handle our business, we should be back in because the Chargers have been getting lucky. Look, man, when are we going to start calling out Herbert for what it is? He turned the ball over twice today, I think. I don't know if they want or not because I don't really care. We'll worry about those guys later. But, yeah, man, we need to make sure that we play our game. And that another gift that Houston gave us besides the pick six is letting us have the ball first and letting us run the ball and letting us establish the running game, right? Where we're not behind in the game. I think that's what happens to us a couple of times is the opposing team kicks a field goal or whatever. We go and we punt and then the team scores again and now, okay, crap. Now we got to throw the ball. Well, no, we can still run the ball. We know we cannot – the chances of us winning games, whipping the ball around the field are not there because our quarterback is not as comfortable with our offense as it needs to be to do that. Maybe in the future we can do that, but right now we have to be a little bit more reliant on the run. Let's see. Steve the Cockfighter. Chargers lost. Hey, Bears, career record is 19-20. Ooh, yeah, that's rough. That's rough. Oh, my God. 37-23? We'll call it what it is, man. Herbert's got a great arm. He's got great tools. But what did I tell you guys last year? I think that Herbert has better physical tools than our quarterback, but I think our quarterback plays the position better than Justin Herbert. Carl, from your lips to God's ears, okay? I'm going to tell you something right now. That's very misleading. Don't always let stats let you know, because how was McCaffrey being used? Was he only in certain packages? Was he catching the ball? Like, what was going on here? McCaffrey is one of the best running backs in the league. The issue with him is the same issue with Josh Jacobs staying healthy. Is Josh Jacobs one of the best running backs in the league? I believe he is, too. I think he's probably one of the top 5-7 quarter running backs in the league, for sure. Marijanovic, Herbert equals Rivers 2.0. You know what, man? He's starting to prove it. Puts up a lot of numbers, but doesn't really win shit. All right. So oh man, white man can't jump. Steve the Cockfighter pulling in from way back. You want to lose pretty with Herbert or win ugly with Carr? I would rather win ugly any day of the week. Any day of the week. This is one of the things that I've actually kind of pinned on our good buddy RJ, that he would rather have Carr ball out and maybe us win than Carr not play well and us win. You know? But I think he's kind of changing his tune, and he would rather us have Carr have an okay game. I mean, 21 for 27, 240 and a touch is an okay game. It's a decent game for a quarterback. It's an okay game, not multiple scores, under 250 yards, 20 completions. I mean, it's not a great game. It's a good game, okay game. But when your running back balls out, that's what we're looking for. RJ does everything. Hey, man, only I can talk shit on RJ, okay? I'm just kidding. Feel free. Be my guest. All right, guys, to wrap this up, the bad guys win today, 38-20 over the Houston Texans. Great games by, I think our offensive line did really well. 7 yards a carry for Jacobs. Jacobs made a lot of people miss. Did a lot of that stuff himself. And we won the game going away. Great job by Daron Harmon with that pick six. Once he caught the ball, I was like, dude, there's no way. Davis Mills, number one, or an offensive lineman are going to catch him. He's going to score this touchdown. And he did. So great job. Penalties need to get cleaned up a little bit. In the second half, we did clean that up. In the first half was a little bit rough. That's why it was a tighter game. I think it kind of put us behind the sticks a little bit. But we cleaned that up. We played against – played behind our running game, took the shots where we needed to, played conservative, let our playmakers make plays. So great job, guys. Humbly, I want to let you know we can't do this without you guys. So make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Hit that little notification button on the bottom corner there. That way you know whenever we go live or we drop a new video just for you guys. We're going to be back again filming Wednesday. Stay tuned for tomorrow for hopefully RJ can join me for, or Rory can join me for Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And then our flagship show drops on Thursday morning. Make sure to tune into that. And some other videos sprinkled in throughout the week. Until then, peace.